So welcome everyone. Om Shanti. So who's here for the first time? Anyone for the first time? One? Only one? Two? Three? Four? Five? Six? Okay, translation. Is it anyone needs translation from English to... No? Everyone understands English? Wonderful. Yeah, so I was thinking a little bit about this topic of being ever ready. And I think for all of us, we've all come here because we've been ever ready, yeah? Ever ready to take this challenge, you know, of this Brahman life. And one of the things I think with the aspect of being, you know, when we say human being, yeah? And this word we use is actually is being. And I remember a long time ago, and this was just as I started this knowledge, there was almost a feeling of all of a sudden I was discovering what actually being was. Because up until a certain point, sometimes we get very busy, yeah, in our daily lives of doing. Is it this translation? Is it working, the translation? Yes, okay. Yeah, okay. So who thinks sometimes we get very, very caught up in doing and not being? Yes, one hand, two hand. Who thinks they spend more time being than actually doing? No? So it's interesting, no? Because it's like it's a natural state. If we look at even the word, you know, human being. So with human and in being, but I think, you know, at this time in the cycle, no, we get so caught up in this concept of doing that we forget this part of being. And when we're actually being, a lot of things take place in that space. The magic takes. Your Baba said this morning, no, there's magic in this Baba's knowledge. And in this state, when we're really in a state of being, magic happens. And I remember sort of a time for myself one time when I all of a sudden realized of a length of time where I was uninfluenced by things around me, people's opinions, people's what others thought or said, and I come back to my own part. You know, sometimes in our situations, our family, our friends, it can be a lot of influence on us, yeah? And we get sort of pushed from this side to this side. Our parents might say this. Our friends might say something else to do something else or suggest something else. Then we have the feeling what I think I should do. But then there might be the feeling, oh, I can't do that because what will they say? What will they think of this if I do this? Yeah. Sometimes this can be our experience. And then it might come to a point of time where we're given some space and then we do that which we feel in our heart we need to do. And we think this is, wow, all of a sudden I'm doing what I feel I need to do. And then and a lot of the time in that process what happens is we discover things which are inside ourselves, which was never able to emerge in the place where maybe we've grown up in, or we've been in a protected environment, or whatever it may be. So then it's like discovering this part of our own being, and of course our own part. One of the things which happens today in a lot of the workforce and a lot of the talk and dialogue on you know, what causes stress, for example. In an aspect of stress is that sometimes we're doing things which we're doing because of this and this, but not because of it's something I really have passion in doing, or I feel that this is really my speciality. For example, it might be I'm doing this job because I need the money to pay the rent, to do this. And then maybe sometime in the future, when I have enough money, then I can do the things which I feel I want to do, like as a first choice. And in this process, it's like we're looking at the clock. Yeah, when we're doing something we're not really into, what happens? What happens with time, the concept of time? It really drags, it goes slowly, no? We're looking at the clock, is it lunchtime yet? Is it time to go home? And then it's sort of like it's always like I'm doing this, but actually I want to be there, somewhere else. Yeah. And I think we all have this experience, you know, where we're doing something, but in our mind we want to be doing something else. And of course, what does this create? It creates stress, yeah? Because it's like we're not 100% where we are, and we're not where we want to be either, yeah? Because we have this desire that somehow this is going to get me to there, and then I'll do what I like. I know from my experience, one time I was living at a time where I was very free. I was living on a place where there was no rent, no cost of any living things as far as apart from food. And I remember sort of, you know, people coming and say, you know, almost like what I was doing was what many souls desired to do after they got enough money and retired and got the savings and all set up, so to speak, and then I can do these things. So I used to think, why would I wait for that? Why can't I do that now? Or why can't we do that now? And one of the things with this thing of being ever ready, it means we have to make ourselves available like that. And not just like material things or job or this, but, you know, what happens in Baba's world or in our world now with Baba? If we are really ever ready, what does that mean? You know, we ask ourselves that question, what does being ever ready really mean to me? You know, if all of a sudden someone came to you and said, listen, I need you to go from here to here, or A to B, for some, whatever it might be, another place, even another country or whatever, or even just something, what's our first response for that, generally? Oh, I can't really, I have this to do, or I have this to do, and no, I have appointments, I have this tomorrow. Many things we can say, I have to do in that situation. I remember sort of times when you hear stories of Brahma Baba's days, in the early days of the history in Mother Barn, how sometimes he would just pick out one sister or brother and say, listen, go to Delhi and meet this person tomorrow morning. Like leave on the train tonight and tomorrow morning. And he would test them to see how ever ready they were. And means being ever ready means also being completely detached also. Yeah. Means being detached of my part, my role. Being, in a sense in the mind also, because these first things start in our mind, no? When we say something, or even doing things, when we say, oh, somebody asks you to do this, and you say, oh, I don't know that, I can't do that. What does that mean? What's actually just happened then? Mentally, inside the mind, I've already closed the door. I can't do this. I know for myself, being like a self-taught artist, musician, I never had lessons for any of these things, but there was an interest there. And I guess a sort of a feeling of, okay, if I, not even a thought, but just to start and then see what happens after that starting. I think for all of us, you know, how many times, you know, the situation may have come along where somebody's asked you to do something and you've been in that space where you're completely open for that. And then you start it and then you find those things that come to you, the right people, the right tips or whatever it might be to do that particular task. Who's had that experience? Yeah. No one? No one's had that? Yeah, you've had that? So it's like, soon as we take that step, you know, so sometimes Baba says, you know, you take the first step and then Baba will take 100 or 1,000-fold towards yourself, you know. But first we have to be in that mindset where we're open to actually take that first initiation or that first step. And then the magic happens because it's like, as soon as a soul steps into that space, these things, that magic does happen. It's like with a, you know, they say a lot of the times in the arts or in acting and things like this that there's a certain point where you step into this unknown, but you have to be in that space where you're willing to go into that unknown, and then what emerges. Because sometimes the people who do this, when they share their experience, they say, it was like almost another person or another, they go, totally go into another realm of being, which is in that sense of just pure creation or creativity. Because, you know, when we see something or we see a play or a movie or something where we see the actors acting in that play, it's as though it's real, no? And yet those actors know that they're just acting. But from the observer, we see them, okay, they're playing this part. One of the things also with, which helps us a lot, I mean, it's like very, very important for just the aspect of being or being ever ready is of course to really understand this drama, yeah? Because in the sense of when we really understand the drama, it means we understand that what is happening in front of us is eternal, yeah? Does anyone here think they should have been somewhere else today? No. Could have been if this had happened, if that had happened? No. Yeah, so in that sense, when we really go deep into the understanding of the drama as it is, it means that really every second that passes is really eternal. Yeah, it was last cycle, the cycle before that, the cycle before that, for eternity. Yeah? But how much do we really have that awareness when something's actually happening in front of us? That's the challenge point. Yeah, because sometimes we think, you know, this is not right. They're doing this or they're doing that. Or something outside of ourself in the drama, in our own mind, we don't accept that. Yeah. Means, when I say not accept that, it means there's a resistance of that process that's going on. So it means that then I'm, in my mind, I'm judging, I'm comparing, I'm thinking maybe, you know, that's not right, that's not according to Srimat. They're not following this, they're not following that, or whatever it may be. So that, then what happens to myself then? Then I feel some heaviness, then I feel some maybe confusion. It can be, sometimes we might look at that and think, oh, they're this and they're doing that. How is that? Or they're BK and they're doing this. That's not Brahman-like. So we really have to understand, go into the depth of the drama and try to keep that sort of awareness when something's going on in front. Because that means, what does it mean then when we're doing that? What does it practically mean? What stage are we in when that happens? Yeah, detached observer. So we're the detached observer then. And in that space of detached observer, we're simply just being. Yeah. Because being is that state of detached observer. I know sort of in the nature, when you go into the nature and if animals are there and they first hear you in the nature, say you go for a walk in the bush and there's an animal there and they hear you coming. What's the first thing they do? Huh? What's the first thing? Nearly all animals do the same thing. They completely stop, completely still, and they just observe. Just, it might just be for a minute second, but in that complete stillness and observation, they'll see the scene, they'll see whatever's there, and then the next step, most of the time they'll go. They'll move out of the way, or they'll, if it's birds, they'll fly away. But there's always that initial first thing which is completely still and they observe. And if you find, when you can also experiment this, if you go into the nature and you just walk and then you just stop very still, and if there's animals there, they'll also stop very still. And as long as you say, stay still like that, as an observer, they will also stay still. And it's a very interesting game because they'll watch and they'll keep watching, and normally something would keep moving, but if you just stop, they'll get to a point of time where then you can see they'll just relax and then they'll just go about their what they're doing without any fear of you, because they see that you're just there also in that space of just being. So this is of course, very important, because everything does that space of being. From my experience, because some of you know here, I've shared my experience before in the forest in Australia. I lived for nearly 1 year in the outback, really with all the animals and in the nature. I saw about 10 people in that 1 year. So I had a lot of time of being in the nature and that aspect of really feeling that, wow, the first time in my life I had the experience of really just being. The most important part profound realization was this thing of being, and I did, the doing was what I needed to do, and that was all what I needed to do. And in that situation it was to collect the firewood to cook with, to get the water from the spring, to build a shelter to live in, to grow the food I needed to live. It was very, 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 very simple. But it was a feeling of the being part was extended for a long period of time. So then I found that these things of, from my experience, they've been godly gifts as far as painting and music, and using these things for to give experience of that also. Because when we're doing, it was like the feeling at that time, there was so much silence, and I remember that time I started playing guitar, and I was just a very beginner, so I just knew a few chords on the guitar. But when I'd play that note on the guitar, it would bounce off the other side of the cliff and come back to me where I was sitting. And in that one note of sound, there was a space in between which was silence. And then there was a feeling of, wow, in this space of silence, truth is within that space. And it was a feeling like if I surrendered to this silence, everything I needed would be provided. Yeah. Very loveful experience. And I didn't know of Brahma Kumaris or Raj Yoga or anything at that time, but I felt there was this being or this intelligence that knew everything I was doing. And if I surrendered to this space in silence, everything would be provided. So that was a real, like a real stamp at that time, because I felt, what else do you need to do? You know, everything seemed so simple. Of course, coming back into a small village with people and getting work and all these things, of course, then you have the challenge, yeah? Because sometimes we come into this Brahman life and we have the knowledge, we have all the tools to use, but then we got the question then is how I can be in this state whilst living with others, because it is a family path. So then we have the sanskaras of others, the way others do things, and that can influence us also. It influences us a lot. And yet still to come back to my own part within that. Sometimes, I know some of the quotes from the last few days in Hyderabad, and they had an IT retreat there. And one of the big slogans on one of the IT in one of the campuses was this famous quote of Steve Jobs. Yeah, and it was like, stay hungry. Yeah, I don't know if you know that quote of Steve Jobs, Apple. Yeah, and that meant that okay, to keep searching until you find your part or your role. So that's very important also for us to rediscover that or put ourselves in a place where we can find that. Other aspects of being, it's like, how can I make that like a permanent thing? Like even today, Baba said, you know, this happiness, even if we're in a sickness, no, he said today. I think it was part of the blessing, even if we're in sickness or whatever, to still be content, to still be happy. I think he mainly said actually content with that thing. So even when the body is like this, how to be still in that stage, in it, within our mind. I know for sort of a lot of the seniors, I remember times where they've shared experience with Daddy Gulzar, with Daddy Jenki, when they've been in sickness or illness, they're still in a space where they're serving the doctors and the surgeons and all these people because of their practice of that soul consciousness, and of course that's that practice of just being, simply being with Baba, that's giving already service to others. Who finds that when they're in that space, that they can do that? One time, some years ago, when Baba in Diamond Hall, Shantivan, Baba was conducting these drills, you know. In between the Murli, he would conduct this meditation drill, just for sometimes 30, 40 seconds. And I remember one time I was there and it was like, there's one of the classic questions which sometimes people ask Baba, how long have we got in this, and to the end of the Kalpa? Or when's Vinash going to take place? Yeah? Has anyone asked that question to themselves? If we look around today, it looks very close, no? Sometimes we see there's civil unrest in so many countries. So many places where there's a lot of conflict. Then we have the dramas going in America, the president thing, and then there's a Brexit and Chile, and it's like they had to change the climate conference to another place because of the riots. We moved to Madrid. So many things are happening, but at this time when the front row of the seats in Diamond Hall was the daddies, and that time Daddy Kumarka was there. So it was Daddy Kumarka and the Whereby, Daddy Jenki, and a lot of the seniors, and they were having a dialogue with Baba, saying, you know, how long this, you know, how much more can this drama go? And of course, you know what Baba says for that, don't you? Yeah? He says, well, you ask yourself, are you ready? Yeah? Or are we ready? And then of course, there's this chit chat going on. And then Baba conducted this drill. And when he conducted this drill, I was going through the phase myself of thinking, okay, I was looking at it more from an angle of presence, being very still, being very soul conscious in the present moment, and thinking, there's nothing outside this space, yeah, in reality. And when Baba did this drill, that was the experience I had. I felt so much in this present moment, really in the present moment, that there was nothing else. The past was just something of a thought or memory. The future didn't exist really, because it was a feeling, where is the future? Where is our future in reality? Is it outside of the present moment? Is it? It's not. Actually, there's nothing outside the present moment. We only have this present moment. So that feeling was like so intense, of that experience of that I thought, of course, how could Baba say when destruction would take place, if that's the reality? If there's only this present moment for all of us, when is destruction? When would it be? Yeah. It'll be in the present moment, yeah. Now we might say, well, it's just when that moment's gone, but they went in the next moment. The next moment. So that present moment is all we actually ever have. So then the feeling was like, okay, how can I be always in the present moment? How is that possible, to be in the present moment? It means that all my karmas, all my actions, everything have to be such where, firstly, my intellect doesn't get pulled to the past. And then desires have to finish, yeah? Where I think there's something more in the future, or I'm doing this to get to that. That's also an illusion. You know, a lot of the great artists, a lot of the great poets and all this, they were just normal people. They just had a practice thing every morning. They did some writing, something, some playing, some music, just like, okay, I've got an hour's spare, I'll do that. Then, after X amount of time, they become good, or they may have become famous, and they become rich and famous. But they just did that as a normal thing. It was no big deal or no something. It was just that they had that practice and kept going at that particular thing they loved or they enjoyed. And then at a certain point of time, it's like that. So it's like with our own practice with that, it's like we say, okay, how can I be as much present? Because many times Baba says, don't get caught in this, don't get caught in that, don't, you know, like, be in any bondage to anything or anyone or any material things or people or this or this. He says, be the detached observer. But of course, in our practical life, That's our challenge, no, because we what happens when we get caught in stuff, we say this is mine or they're mine or that's my something. So all these little things actually create that mental state where we get caught, we can't be present. Because what happens when we can't be present? If we're not in this present moment, where are we? We're in the past or the future, yeah? That's the only other place. And that past and future is where? It's in our mind, no? only. It doesn't actually exist only in the mind. It's not a reality. So it means when you're walking A to B, how many have had the experiment when they go walk A to B and try to remember each step where you've been? Sometimes we walk A to B, automatic pilot, no? We walk, we get to that point, but if you have the attention then, okay, where was I when I was walking there? Thinking about some friends, some people, this, what I'm going to do next week, this, and this. So I've had all this thought in the head of past, future, but actually where I've been, where I've actually taken those steps, I've not been there at all. Completely absent, yeah? Like a robot walking in. So it's like how to bring that back, bring it back to that space of the present moment as much as possible what we can do. Then we feel there's a magic in that, because it means what happens when we're in that present moment, we're with Baba. Yeah? Easy to be with Baba because Baba's always there, but it's not that I'm always there. Mine's going somewhere else. So these are like easy steps. Another easy step of, is the old thing of, okay, we're breathing all the time. So sometimes even bringing our thoughts back to our breath will help us initiate that space of being in the present, because that's always something that's happening, no? We always have to breathe every second. We have to breathe. So if we sometimes just have that awareness of our thought, our breath, that brings us to a very grounding space. I remember from my experience in the beginning, I had a practice of about 10 months where I just observed the breath. In breath, the out breath. And at that time, it was just before I took this Raj Yoga, but it was a real strong feeling, wow. I got so much out of that I felt you don't need anything else. And that was just the experience of being present. It wasn't the experience of Baba and the magic of Baba, but just that of being present. That was such a profound effect, because it meant your mind wasn't going wandering to the past, or it wasn't wandering to the future. It kept yourself in this very present state. One of the things which I used to be fascinated in Australia, you know, some of the history of Australia, when white men first came to Australia, I think in 250, 260 years ago, before that the Aboriginal people were there, yeah? And I don't, as some may know here, but the Aboriginal people had this, they see the land as their temple, yeah? The land is their temple. And why was that? Because the land provided them with their food, everything they needed. So they looked after that temple. And they looked after the temple in the sense of whenever they went, they were gatherers and hunters, but wherever they went, they would follow the signs in the nature to get things what they needed. And what that meant was that you had to be, or they were naturally, because they live in the bushland and in the forest like that, so they're brought up in that space, but means their observation power was 100%. They had to be, because you had to survive, yeah? You don't have a sign, you know, 3 kilometers restaurant, you know, 5 kilometers water hole, you know, bed and breakfast here or something. No, they're in that space and they have to find these things. And when they find them, they don't have to find them like that. That means they're so observant that they see every little sign in the nature, how the birds fly, the sounds. Maybe you have the thought and you look up and in the clouds, there's a face in the clouds and maybe something looking this way. They follow that. Sometimes it's like, you know, when we say when we're really with Baba, we get all the touchings. You know, Baba said at the end, no? If we're really in that state of our soul consciousness, completely being, completely detached observer, we'll get the signs, we'll get the touchings, we'll know when to go and where to go at that time. And many, many BKs have had experiences where they've been in crisis situations and they've been with Baba and Baba's directed them where to go at what time and what to do, and they've survived. There was one classic one where they had some volcano erupted and all the gases come out and they just had the touching to go into this space and put a wet blanket, get it under a wet blanket and just lie there. And they were the only ones that survived that. So we get the touchings from Baba, but we have to keep ourselves in that space to do that. Going back to the Australian bush, were these there at the time when white man first comes? Sometimes there'll be a convict, because as you know, Australia, all the people that come to Australia in the beginning were mostly convicts, white men. Did you know that in Australia? They came out from England and Ireland, and it started as a penal colony in Australia. So sometimes those escapees would escape into the bush. They would escape out of that. And then they'd get the Aboriginal people, some of the tribal elders, or whoever, and they're known as trackers. Yeah? Trackers means they'd know exactly where someone went into the bushland. Slight little twig broken, footprints, all the little things which most things we don't even see, they would see those things. So they would hire these people to say, find this person in the bush, where they went, the convict that would escape. So they'd find it straight away, because they could see all these little signs, because they had that observation power. So for me, sometimes it's like that observation is like, in our situation here now, when we're the detached observer like that, we see things, no? Sometimes we just have a glance of something, we can understand that situation just with a glance. We don't have to go into detail. What's another aspect of being that we may, anyone like to share? What are other aspects of being that you understand to be very important? Being silent? Yeah? There's a lot of words which are used for being, no? Being this, being this, being happy, being content, being. So there's always this word of being, so being's very important. Anyone like to share something? A question of someone? Feeling light in stressful situations? Yeah, because where does stress come from? How do we create stress? Mental, yeah. It's all only mental, isn't it? Stress. Mostly it's mental. Thinking? Yeah, thinking. Habits? Stress is a habit, yeah. Because now, don't worry, it's not just Israel. Yeah. And the world now is like that, isn't it? Because, I mean, we can just now, like I was saying, as in this IT retreats, and they say there's so much stress in the IT world. And I used to think at the beginning, how can that be? I mean, I did a part as a carpenter and joiner, yeah? So a lot of physical activity, building, making things. And sometimes I wouldn't say it was stress. It could have been that, or tension, or, I mean, of course, if we go into a situation where, and for me, a lot of those situations was like I'd underquote a job, yeah? So I'd be working more days than what I was thinking, you know, you end up working for like $20 a day because you've gone longer than the job. You've already got your... So when it's longer, then it's like it's not stress, but it can be tension, or this or that. So it's like how we How do we create that in our mind, you know? What's the mechanism of stress? And I think for all of us, when it's like, for me sometimes it's like, if we're doing something, and we're, again coming back, if we're doing it 100%, 100% concentration in that one task at one time, there's no stress. Yeah. If we're doing it 50%, and then I'm thinking, I have to finish this because I have this meeting, you know, in 15 minutes, but I have this job and it's going to take me 20 minutes to get to that meeting. What's happening then? Then there's stress, no? Because I still haven't finished this. I need to finish that, but I want to be there. I need to be there. So then the tension of how many times we've gone to the airport and we're late, no? That's a classic, yeah? You've got a flight. I was just the same thing now. I just come from Hyderabad. The chap who drove me to the airport, the flight was at one of these flights, which is like one that could be a disaster for this type of thing. It was a 3 o'clock in the morning flight. Yeah. So I had to be up at 2 o'clock. Well, no, sorry, it was a 5 o'clock flight. We had to leave the center at 3 o'clock, which we, about 3:10, and the driver was a new driver. He didn't know the way, did he? Yeah. So there he is, we're going sort of this thing, and I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, you know, and I said to him, listen, you know, we have to, you know, put the foot down a bit on the pedal. And he was a new driver and was unsure where he was going. So, of course, getting to the airport, and I already, you know, I had to go through the process of the person that looks after all these flights, yeah, calling out those going to Ahmedabad, you know. So I had to come through all the queue of about 40 people up to the front to get checked in, and then all the process right to the myself being the last one on the plane, you know. So can that be stress? Who's had that experience? Yeah, so it's like, for me it was like, in that it was like, okay, you have to accept in your mind, if I don't get on there, that's fine as well. It's not the end of the world if I make the flight or I don't make the flight. No. But then in our mind, if we think, no, I have to get that because I have this, this, and this to do, and then it can create the stress, no? So it's always an interesting, that's for me, that's the most interesting one I've had many times. I've missed flights going from Australia to India where, you know, getting a visa and really less than 1 hour before the flights, or 1 hour before the last check-in time, they still haven't got the visa, and even missing the plane because of that visa, you know. But it was good service of the Indian embassy because I was stable, I was calm, I was peaceful, and they probably thought, normally someone in this situation, they're going to be going crazy, you know, crazy mad, you know. So in that sense, it probably would have been good service for them, but I did miss the flight. So it's like, it's always in the mind, though, the stress factor is in the mind. So how is it that we can not, or we can remove ourselves from that aspect of stress, and not just ourselves, because we're here, we're Baba's children, no? So we're here to help others, to serve others, to give them experience of these situations and be calm, be peaceful, be stable. Because that's the most important thing, no? The other thing is the extra thing. You know, it's like if we move out of our stage, then it's just like everyone else then, no? And if you're in the world situation today, of course those things are, it's happening everywhere, you know, so many situations where it's a recipe for being stress and anxiety and tension and, you know, what will happen. Because we have Baba's knowledge, you know, so we know what the end result is. And so we're here just to give Baba's message within that space for those people. We know that it's not going to get, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. We know that, no? It's not going to get better as it is today. It's going to get much, much worse. So we know that according to drama that these things are happening, and they are happening in Australia at the moment. I just got news from near the retreat centre in the Blue Mountains in Australia. About six kilometres away, there's a mega fire. And they call it a mega fire because there's seven fires that have joined together and it's burning over 6,000 square kilometres of bushland. And usually the fires, they go with which way the wind's blowing, yeah? But this, because everything is so dry that it's burning in all directions, just very methodically, just burning everything in the path. And that they can't stop it. They've tried everything. So that's what's happening there. So imagine for those people, Bubba's Centre at the moment, they all evacuated the Blue Mountains. They went down to Sydney. It's still not right near the retreat centre yet, but it means they all had to be that much ever ready that they had to just go, because it was less stressful to go before it actually the fire gets there than to try get out at that moment of that time. Anyone else has any question on? Yeah? Did you say a big question? No. Okay. Question, sorry.
Is there a meaning to be ever ready? Because we don't know the surprises that's coming from the drum.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Well, it means we to keep ourselves in that space of the present, yeah? Because when we're ever ready, we really are in the present moment, yeah? We're ready for whatever's next. Always. We can't be deceived when we're in the present moment. It's like Baba says, no, that your last thoughts will lead you to your destination. Yeah? So what does that mean? You know, what am I thinking of at that in the moment? And when something happens. Because he says also, if there was something new in the drama, then we would have something to worry about. Yeah? If there was something new in the drama, then we'd have something to worry about. I remember this quote, I loved it because I thought, it's like, if there's nothing new, then there's nothing to worry about, no. We just have to be with Baba, keep in that present moment with Baba. Then we'll get the touching, we'll get the right, whatever to do, whatever happens in front. Because when we're in that space, there's no surprises, is there? When we're not in that space, if we find ourselves getting surprised by something, shocked by something, it means we're not in that space, no? Because, oh, did you hear about that? Or, you know, like we get sort of affected and have some response and then maybe talk or even gossip about something that's happened. Oh, did you hear about that? Did you hear about that person or this thing? So we get influenced by that and then we share that and then, of course, others think about that. So what happens then? It means whatever I do, it should be something that pulls souls' intellects back to Baba. And when the more we're in that detached space, detached observer, when others see that, and I know for myself when I've seen that in others, then I remember Baba. Especially when drama situations happen where we say, oh, did you hear that? Did you see that drama? And usually dramas related to something that's like a big drama. That was a big drama, you know. Within a little drama within the big drama. Yeah. So it's always like something when we're surprised or something, then that means we're sort of like we haven't been in that space when that's happened. We've been caught in that thing. And then it means the real part of being ever ready is always there at that point. When we're just as a detached observer, just simply being, easy to be in that ever ready then. Otherwise it's like, I remember sort of a time, it was, I think, I'm not sure what year it was, but it was when they had a big earthquake in Bhuj, in Gujarat, and I was in Somnath that time. I was doing some artwork on this big Shiva Lingam. And at that time, it was the first time I ever bought myself a laptop, yeah, new laptop. And I used to spend up to 9 o'clock in the morning. I'd spend in this guest house because there wasn't enough room at that time at the center. It was a BK's guest house, and I was on the top floor, and I'd work on some artwork on the laptop. At 9 o'clock, I'd pack up and then go down to the center and start the artwork. Well, right at that time, I think around 9 o'clock, this earthquake happened. So, I remember when this earthquake happened, I could see the roof line of the house was like a wave of the twisting of all the brickwork, or it seemed like it was in this wave. But you know, I wasn't detached at all from this laptop, because I had to pack it away, put it in its case before I thought I'd get out of this building. So I thought, failed, you know, sort of, if the roof had fallen in, I would have become a laptop or something, I don't know. But I was really remembering that new laptop. So it was like, I thought, okay, this is sort of all of a sudden factor, you know, what we do at that time. You know, when something happens, you know. I remember other experiences being in the nature, and that when I was in this time when I was in the forest in Australia, I was living off the side of the cliff in this platform I made out of logs, and a cyclone came through this place, and there was lightning hitting all the rocks around me, and it was super, super, super intense in the sense of, like, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it's really like a crisis situation, really like life and death. You go into this space where it's just adrenaline, yeah? And you do things which you'd never be able to do in a normal state. You know, they say that sometimes, you know, somebody in a crisis thing, people lift things and do things which it's almost impossible in a normal state of being. So this for me was like the experience of that in a cyclone, and I remember sort of, you know, just being in this space where it was just like, if you could ever be in a 101% aware, that was a space to be in, you know. And they say even in extreme sports, you know, why are they so popular? Extreme sports, where it's really a matter of life and death, or we could say in Bubba's world, life and rebirth, that you have to be 101% aware, because 1 second thought, Om Shanti, yeah? So, and that's, souls love that sort of thing, because it makes you're totally alive, you know, you feel alive, because you can't afford to have any thought outside of that experience of those things, you know. And there's many sports like that, you know. I remember seeing this one of these gliding, you know, where they jump off the side of a mountain or something, and they glide down with these like a little flying bat or flying sort of fox, and they glide through all these rocks and all that, and they're doing like a few hundred mile an hour or whatever, and some of them don't make it, you know, they miscalculate. But the experience they all share after that is like, because it brings you back to this present moment, you have to be in the present moment. You can't be out of that. Otherwise, it's a rebirth situation, which no one really wants to do like that. So that those things bring us back to that. And that's why they're popular in that, because we don't have to do that, no. We have to have an understanding of our thinking and why and what things bring us out of the space of being. Anyone has anything else they'd like to? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. what would you say would be the method to bring yourself back to where your mind and your heart, if you want to call it the heart, or your feelings are the same?
Well, when it's got to that point, of course, all we can do is go back to I am a peaceful soul. No, I am this. We have to bring something back. And this is a good part with the breathing too, where we just take a deep, sometimes we say, I take a deep breath, just relax. If we see someone else in that, if they're really stressed, we try something physical, take a deep breath, just relax, whatever. So we can do that. But what you're saying is like, it's before that we have to catch that, no? Because we know we all get caught in things and we can say, this person said this to me, then I started thinking, and then I started thinking more, then maybe after a little bit of time I've got a headache, or I feel tension, or how they said that, why they said this to me, how could they say that, how do they know, like all this dialogue we start in our mind, and then after a certain point of time we feel stressed, or we feel tension, and then we think others are expecting this, what are they going to say, and then because we create this situation, and we create it actually ourselves. They've just said something. They've just said a couple of words. But what happens after that? Then I start, it's my creation then, no? Always my creation. There's dramas just going on, drama. All the souls are playing all their part, and they're doing what they have to do. And I have my part, but then my response is always what I think and what I do, that's my karmic thing, no? So, but your question is more, okay, this happens and it happens to us all, that's why we're here. We're all learning, no? No one's, whoever's karmateet, they're not here at the moment, no? They're in that picture there. Huh? The advanced party souls. They're already taken. So, we're still in that practice of that, no? So we do get caught, but that's how we learn, no? We learn when this happens. And then we can, if we're smart, we learn quick. They say, Mama was very smart, no? She did one thing, one mistake once, and then Om Shanti after that, she knew the next time. Or that was what we've been told her part was such that she really had that mistake was once, and then she'd learn from that. And then next, but of course, even up to the time apparently Mama left the body, she had cancer, no? Most of the people around her didn't even know she had cancer. She was so aware at that point that she didn't want anyone's intellect pulled away from Baba because of her sickness. So she had that awareness that why, if I share this and everyone starts thinking, oh, poor Mama, having sympathy, having this and that, then the intellect is removed from Shiv Baba, or a chance to be removed through that thing. So, and those who were very close to her that knew that, of course, they would sometimes see Mama where she would be maybe talking to people, or even giving a class, and then she'd turn around, and they could see the expression on her face that she was maybe going through some suffering. But it wasn't, she was very aware that not to pull anyone's intellect away from Baba through her own sickness, you know. Because that's also karma, karmic thing, you know. And sometimes, you know, even with sickness, sometimes it can be the smallest thing and somebody can make a lot of noise through a small thing. Pull everyone's intellect, everyone will know about it. And yet, what does that mean, you know, as well? And somebody may have something very serious and they'd have that internal awareness of that it's okay, this is my clearing of my karma and my karmic account and keeping that link with Baba, and then it's not actually suffering. And this is what happened, we see with many of our daddies where they've been sick or some illness and they've been able to serve the doctors and the medical team because they see them. Normally someone would be like this and this and this, complaining and this and, you know. And yet they're completely stable. And they think, how is this possible? How is it possible to have an illness and not have some experience of suffering or whatever? So it's our mental state in that. How our mental state is in that process. if we give it to Baba. And then we do that. That's a service then to others in that space. Anyone else like to share something? I don't know how much time we got. Is it to 12 or 12:15? Is it? Okay. Yeah, anyone else has any question? Well, how they, yeah.
Om Shanti. So we recently had this young Yagya Instruments retreat in Pandabhavan, and this was one of the thing that Sister Meera and, you know, a couple other sisters, they have shared. That Jayanti Ben, like currently, like the practice that she is doing, one of the sharing that she has shared, like one of the practice that she has shared, is it's not the thought that comes into your mind first. It's the feeling. And then the thought. So based on your feeling, the thought emerges. So you need to purify your feelings and the thoughts will automatically be purified. And when the situation really comes, that's not the time to purify your feelings or the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a prior practice, like a very long time practice for purifying your feelings every day, so that even if it's a, you know, it's such kind of challenging situation, you still have pure feelings for everyone involved in that situation, and the thoughts can emerge based on the feelings. So that was something, you know, I wanted to share, because I recently learned that was one of the things that we could try, like, you know, purifying your feelings.
Mm. Yeah, good, yeah. Because the feelings too, no, the feelings come, of course, initially from our thinking, no? No? The feelings? They come from initially our thought process, still, it's always the thought first, then the feeling, no?
I thought so, but what she shared is, it's the feelings first and then the thoughts. I thought, like, after she shared that, the feelings are based on your, it can be based on your memories, past experiences.
Mm.
So it's not really, you know, the first thing like a thought coming into your mind. It can be a feeling from the past experience, and based on those feelings, now you are creating a thought when you are memorizing those incidents.
Yeah.
So it's the feelings and then the thought coming into your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be opposite as well, but that's what she shared. That,
yeah,
you know,
no, that's a good point, because feelings are always real. Now we feel something when we go into a place too, no? We used to share that while doing the course, no? And when giving the course to people, and they say, oh, you know, how is this, how do the mechanics work on this, you know, with thoughts and feelings and all this? And you'd say, okay, if you go into a room and somebody's just had an argument or a fight or something, you can feel that, no? You can feel that atmosphere very clearly. You, no one has to say boo. No one even has to look at you. You can still feel that. So it's there, it's an atmosphere, it's created. And the same where many people come into centres, and you've probably found in your own places, people come in from outside that have never been into a meditation centre, and they come in and they're, wow, the feeling here is wonderful, you know, it's very peaceful, very calm, something's different about this place. But we've created that through our meditation, no? Our thoughts. All of these things, we create a space, no? And a lot of the time the space is created through silence as well, as through our own being in this space. We create that space, you know? And of course people come in and they feel that space, and they feel it's something very special. And they think, and then they'll ask, you know, what are you doing here, you know? Why is this different to other places? Yeah. So we all carry that round with us, no? As well. We create it. We have an aura around us of that. And when we're more and more in that space of being and in a real detached observer space, that's already created, no? And that, of course, then others get pick up that space as well. Or they get inspired by that. Anything else? Yes.
One other thing, that because this was the topic of her session, like what Sister Meera explained, being is also not like thinking. When I'm in meditation and I'm thinking I'm a soul, that's also not being. Mm. So sometimes, like when we say being rather than not doing, she explained not even thinking and doing, but being. So even if I'm thinking I'm a peaceful soul, I'm traveling upwards, going to, you know, a soul world, it's also thinking, but not being.
Yeah.
So being is like, you know, she explained when you are in a traffic control or every hour for a minute, just be.
Yeah.
You are a soul, just that, be that point without even thinking I'm a soul.
Yeah.
So that experience was completely new, just be.
Yes. Yeah, because it is. Being is definitely not thinking. You're just in that space. I mean, we're all, because our natural space now is the soul, being of light. Sometimes we use that terminology, point of light, being of light, being of energy. So we're already, that's our intrinsic nature is being. And yet, and of course it's connected with silence as well. I mean, all these things are all part of that space of the soul. I mean, in soul world, we're just a being of light. No part, just energy, light energy. When we take the physical form, we come into our part, but in that space we're just being, simply just being. No thought, nothing, just being. So it's a very... No. Nothing, just being. Yeah. Sounds too simple, no? I mean, we all long for that space. We all want to love being in that space. And of course, people, when they have out of body experiences, they have this space. They have the experience of that, of just being. They were just observing. Yeah. Hear many stories of people, out of body, near death experiences, when they share their stories. And you probably, we've all read some of these stories around the world of people who have had near-death experiences and all this, where they're just completely the observer, just being. And not just that, but the immense love and the beauty of just this space of being touches them so much that they want to share this with everyone, because it's just like they think there's nothing. It's just like, I'm just this pure being of energy, just observing, and the whole love of all that space. Sometimes they see Baba there as a divine light or some source of light which is there as well. I remember once I had some question to Nawarebhai, and I come to him and I said, Nawarebhai, I forget exactly what the question was, but it was like his response I remembered, because he said, I said, Nawarebhai, this, what do you think of this? You know, he says, I don't think. In his deep voice, Nawarebhai's deep voice, he said, I don't think. And at the time, I started thinking, of course. When he said, don't think, I started thinking, you know, what do you mean he doesn't think? You don't think. How can you not think? So then I think, well, why, you know, what does that mean if we're thinking, you know? Because when we're thinking, it's like we're churning about something or thinking about something, you know. So then I sort of slowly, I understood, okay, yes, you think when you need to think about something, but then just do that and then spend the rest of the time just being. You don't have to think, you know. So one, it was very funny at the time. Well, it wasn't that funny, but it was quite a response, I don't think. So, okay, thank you. And maybe we finish with a couple of minutes meditation, unless someone else wants to say anything. No, anything? Last question. Everyone's content, happy, just being. Yeah, beings of light. Okay.